This is tape number two, interview with Larry Knapp on May 25th, 1991.
Right now I got Palermo is one of the best young umpires that I brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I brought him up right out of school.
Out of umpire school?
Umpiring school. Not to saw him work a professional game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's most consistent.
So Palermo, Barnett, Barlick, Larry Knapp, that would be a good crew right there.
Yeah. Well, Denking is all right. He's really consistent, too.
Mm-hmm. Larry, there have been some rule changes in baseball over the years, not like the wholesale changes that happen in football, certainly, or in basketball with the 24-second clock in the NBA, and that really changed the tempo of the game, and the three-point shot that occurred about...
Well, we did put that in baseball.
What in baseball?
The timing. They got to throw the ball in so many seconds. We have a clock at second base. The clock hold, the umpire at second base times it. As soon as he gets started, and he's on the mound.
I've only heard that called once in all my days.
That's what I only called it once. And I called it.
Was that 20 seconds they got after they get on the rudder?
And I called it on. I called it on what the hell was his name? The guy of the White Sox. The star of the White Sox.
Carlton Fisk?
No.
No, he's catching batter.
What was the star pitcher for? The star of the White Sox. Well, anyway, I called it, and Lopez said, Jesus Christ, how can you? I said, I got the watch here. That's why they gave us the watch, you know?
Uh-huh.
But you see, the bad feature about that is, Dan.
What's that?
Is they take, you call that only when there's nobody on base. It's when guys are on base, you can't call it. Well, that's when they take their time.
Sure. You can't call it when there's a base runner?
No, only when runners are off the base.
Oh.
See what I mean?
So they could take all the time they want there in the...
When there's nobody on, they got to control it in 20 seconds. The guy who put that up was Greenberg, Hank Greenberg. And I thought it was a lousy rule. And I was the one, the guy who protested, you know, when we had meetings. I said, they don't take that time when there's nobody on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only time they... take time is when there's runners on.
Yeah.
They stand there like this. You know, that's taking time. But that's not the right way. But they put it in there. Hank Greenberg put it in there.
What do you use for a rule of thumb on a batter that come up and constantly between pitches would step out of the batter's box and just... Now, Carlton Fisk is a supreme example. He adds about 20 minutes to every ball game.
You see now?
Now, what do you use the, you know, how'd you speed him up? Say, hey, okay, get back in the batter's box.
Once you get in there, you come out. All right, you set. All right, now stay in there. You get out, you get out on your own. Now, if they back out, you go whatever the pitch might be. If he steps out, Nellie Fox used to be that way. Nellie used to go like this. He was left-handed, see?
Uh-huh. Be shifting his feet all the time out of the box.
And a guy's getting on the rubber, see? Uh-huh. And he's about to go. You step up. It's to break his concentration.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever he used to go like, well, our supervisor, Cal Harvey, used to give us help. Keep that bastard in the box, see?
Mm-hmm.
Once you get in there, you all right? Yeah, okay. Pitch! Now you got him. See? Mm-hmm. He can't get out now, see? Mm-hmm. He step out in the zone. He's on the pitch, whatever it may be. You got to use all these lessons. But if a guy does it every once in a while, don't mean it to, mm-hmm. you know.
So you really got to know the personality of that player.
Certain guys would do that. Mm-hmm. Just like Nellie Fox, when he used to get, when a ball was hit in the outfield, he didn't have a great arm. And it'd be a runner on third base. And a ball was hit in the hole out there. He'd run out there and get the ball. And he'd say to the umpire, time. Don't give him time, Cal. He said, don't give that bastard no time. He's doing it so he can't reach home plate. Because he don't have a great arm. And there's a runner on third base, see? So that umpire goes, time, you're killing the play here.
Interrupting the flow of the game.
Now, and not only that, now before you can put time in play, you got to go back, put the ball back, and the umpire, and the pitcher's got to get back on the rubber again. Now the umpire behind the first play, play. Now the game's in. That's why I say don't hold up the game.
So by these doing
are,
that...
These are the things that you tell young umpires. You see what I'm driving at? How he's trying to... Guy, I don't have a great arm. He can't reach home plate for a runner on third base or a guy turning.
Mm-hmm.
You got to try to stop that.
So it's a matter of one... knowing the flow of the game and not interrupting it all the time.
You know who's doing it.
And you know who's doing it because they have certain weaknesses.
That's right.
Or certain habits.
That's
and the umpires kind of spread that word around among themselves.
Well, you know, the crew chief, the guy in charge,
uh-huh,
would tell him, hey, watch Nelly Fox. Don't let him get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
See? Now, there's a lot of other guys that are doing things that you tell the umpires to watch it. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
They got, just like this Perry used to give you this.
Oh, all the doctoring?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Doctoring the ball. One umpire caught him. Lionel caught him.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Throw him out?
Yeah. You know, they get it someplace, but you don't know where they get it from. But we used to look at Cal Hubbard used to sit in the box and watch him. There's one guy named Rico, and if you get him, he used to get it like this. Purposely do it on purpose. They sound
and
his
wiping
hand
across his mouth,
yeah,
his fingers or something.
Yeah, he's got it in his hand now,
yeah,
see? But he got it on his thumb, too. So now you say, wipe it off! Wipe it off!
Yeah.
I'm wiping it off. See, he'd go like this, see?
Yeah.
Let you know that he's wiping it. But it's on his thumb.
Uh-huh.
See, now when he wants it,
yeah.
You don't pitch with his thumb, he pitches with these two fingers.
Now, I heard that some of the catchers did that too, that, the shin guards of a catcher that occasionally the rivets or something, they stick them up,
yeah,
and scratch
it up
and throw it back to the
pitch. Oh, put a Coke bottle.
A what?
Nelly Fox, Coke. A Coke bottle top.
Oh, a cap?
Cap, put it on in his glove. As you're throwing around in the near field, and hit the glove and hit that cork and get him.
Put that inside the glove?
No, I'm here. The glove is this way. So you put it,
yeah,
right on the outside. As they throw it around in the infield, and you throw it in there, it's in the glove. You only need that for one shot.
Well, when the umpire see the cap, well, maybe not.
Well, if they're throwing it around in the infield, who the hell are you going to watch?
Yeah, that's right.
Throwing it around. But then there's a lot of cheaters. They cheat in a lot of ways.
Yeah. What were some other ways other than doctoring the ball by coat caps and...
I remember Lopez... No, see, Tony Vicinello said to me on third base, hey, Matt, we saw this color guy. He had Parmalee in his dressing room.
Who?
He had that Parmalee Vaseline.
Oh, okay.
And they found out, he said, he's throwing a Vaseline ball.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he's got it on top of his head. So he says, when he takes his hat off, he goes like this. And he's got that on his fingers. So I said, okay, if you see him doing it, you let me know. Yeah, I'll watch him. See?
Mm-hmm.
He don't do it all the time.
Yeah.
So sure enough, Minosa's at the plate.
Oh, Minnie Minosa.
And both persons, hey, Bob, watch it, see? I'm watching. Are you ready? Yeah, okay, pitch. Sure enough, Wyatt his name was.
Uh-huh.
Wyatt would throw that ball and it would sink, boom, and struck out Minosa. I said, I held him until you told me to go. I did. What do you want me to do? He swung at it. You never know where the hell they're getting it from.
No, that's right. That's why it's hard to spot and why they're rarely ever tossed out.
Well, you know, it just goes to show you that this guy, Perry, he wouldn't tell his brother, and his brother was a ball player, too.
Mm-hmm.
and his brother wasn't as good as he is. They take it from their belt, from the inside of their hat. But we used to go, and knowing who they were, we'd watch the guy, and we'd go, before we go out, we'd say the third base umpire, hey, you watch him today, you know, because he has not much to do, so they watched him at all times.
Yeah, it was kind of a lazy position on the, and you got to...
Now, they claim that Whitey Ford used to throw a ball, that could be something, short something.
He was always accused of throwing a lot of doctored balls.
Well, Ford used to go like this, see? Drop the ball. Now, when he pick it up, you see the stitches? He go like this, rub it in the dirt. It get in here.
Oh, right there in the seam.
It's in the seam, the dirt. Now, when he throws a sinker, the ball will sink twice as fast because he's got dirt over here. So they told me they was doing that. So okay, I'll watch. So now they say, watch him, Nap, watch him. So now he wasn't doing it today. He wasn't doing it. See, but when he used to go pick up the rosin bag, he would have the ball in his hand. The rosin ball was there, see? And he'd go and he'd pick up the rosin ball. And scrape it. Scrape it in. So, okay, you stop him.
That's the Whitey Ford rule.
Yeah,
now
Whitey
they can't
Ford,
do that anymore.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden, Elston Howard, you caught him. Okay, Whitey, cut it out. Now we caught you.
Yeah.
Okay, now, here's Howard. He's behind the plate. He goes and he rubs the ball in that seat. And he throws it back. I said, okay, Elston, we caught you now. Cut it out.
Yeah.
They seen it. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they stop it.
Yeah.
But they never know when you're going to call it on them. You might call it on, you know, hit the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have a lot of guys that... I caught one guy one time at spring training in Vero Beach. He was with Montreal. He has to pick up the ball. I said, what the hell? He says, what are you doing? He said, I'm experimenting on a pitch. But we got guys now pretty strict. We got like Guillermo and Garcia. They caught, and Phillips caught the power a couple times. Perry. They use sandpaper. I don't know what the hell a sandpaper is. They pick the sandpaper.
Where would they keep sandpaper on their?
No, in their pocket. Back
pocket. Oh, in their pocket.
They're throwing a lot of different pitches, slip pitches now. Make it very slippery on your hands. See? Now the guy using tar to get a better grip. They got it in their glove. Tar, you know, the pine tar.
Yeah, but that'd show up on the ball in a hurry.
Well, that's it. But they get just enough to get it
sticky. Oh, just sticky, but not too much.
So when they throw that curveball, they got more of a spin. See? Throw it. And we caught them a lot with the pine tar. See?
Larry, the thing about pitchers, you know, you saw... today you got some premier pitchers, you know, got incredible fastballs. And you got the specialization relief pitchers, you got middle inning relief pitchers,
yeah.
You got those who come in the last inning and a half. And they're putting that ball in there at 95, 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Much faster than when you started in the major leagues.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have that kind of fastball.
Guys, the pitcher fast, yeah. You just keep your eye on it. Right on the ball. Watch the ball.
That's not a big problem.
No.
Whether it's
the biggest problem is the sinker now. It sinks the last second. That's what. Like I said to one guy one time, a guy like Cerrone he's a pretty good catcher.
Rick Cerrone.
Yeah. Now, when he has trouble, or a good catcher has trouble catching a guy and the ball in the dirt, that means he's throwing a spitter. It's sinking fast and he can't get it just before it bounces to the plate, see? And then you watch him.
Because catcher should know where that ball, where he wants that to go, and if it's...
That's right. He knows where it's coming. Just like another guy, one time, the guy that Hamilton had hit, Conigliero. He threw and hit Conigliero in the head because you know what happened to Conigliero. That's what he died. I had him one time in Detroit. And I went out there and I really read, I read him the riot act. I walked right on there and I said, now cut that out. You say the ball slipped, it got away from there. Yeah, how come it never gets away when you want it on a strike? You know. So they know who they like. Conigliero used to go right in there, he'd wait the last minute to get the hell away from a pitch. If they can back you up just enough to back you out of there, that split second, they got you. The ball is not, you're not going to have good control of the bat.
Not going to get that wrist action.
That's
there.
Right.
Larry, occasionally there are some batters that are superb at stealing the catcher's sign. You know, the dart of the eyes down there.
Oh, they can look. Well, they got to hide it, that's all. They got to hide the pitch.
Well, yeah.
See now.
Who's got to hide it?
The catcher. See, in other words, if you go like this, one, two.
Yeah.
Now they're putting it up here.
Up here on the...
right here, on their thigh.
Okay,
see?
On the inside thigh rather than down in the crouch.
And they go like this. One is a fastball, two is your curve, three is your changeup.
But isn't it against the rules for a batter to eyeballing the catcher?
No, he can look like that. They do that all the time, every once in a while, just to see if the guy... And they forget, too, a lot of guys...
So it's up to the catcher to put his hand out there to...
Just like I never forget, in the Yankee Stadium, Yogi Berra was behind the plate, and what the hell was the guy's name that used to... couldn't see...
Pitcher?
Yeah.
Ryan?
No.
Or Duren?
Ryan Duren.
Yeah, Ryan Duren.
When he used to come in, he would go and paint his fingers with white shoe polish. Yogi.
Yeah, he didn't have too good of eyesight, did he?
And then the first pitch he would get to come on the mound, you know, the warm-up pitch, he'd throw it in the backstop. And Yogi, you better watch out, this little bitch can't see my fingers.
And Yogi would put shoe polish on one of his fingers.
No, the all fingers
of them.
See, well, he's going to get things like, you know.
He want those things shine up in the night.
He used to do it on purpose. See? And on purpose, see? He can see. He can see. Put a glass of beer in front of me. He was a drunk.
Yeah.
He could throw.
Yeah. He was a...
And he wasn't a bad guy. Just like I told Perry one time, he's sitting on a bench and he's yelling that he's one of these guys yak at the ball players on the opposite side. So he says, "Could I sit here?" And I said, "Yeah, keep your mouth shut. You know, don't get out of umpires." I said, "All guys, you know. I said, "Say something to the umpires." "I never get on umpires." "Okay." So one time I umpired a ball game for him. Made me feel good. He lost the ball game. Terry. And when he finished, he went like this to me. Good ball game. Ryan used to do that a lot to me. Wink at me like that. Good game.
Sign of respect
Well, you know, I umpire a game. The World Series is going to be between the Dodgers, Los Angeles Dodgers, and Yankees. And Dodger was pitching against...
Was that about 63,
64? 63. And I'm coming in a ball game all dressed up, and I'm with Johnny Rice. And Paparello was on the crew. You know, Paparello was the umpire in chief. And Drysdale comes running in from center field. They had the infield, he's out there shagging flies, and he come running in, and he saw me. And he says, "Worked a hell of a game, you know, one or nothing." He said, "That's the best game I've had all year round." made me feel good, but he won. See? Yeah. It's when you lose and you come up and tell me I feel much better.
Yeah.
See? But he's, but he said, he called me Dago. Hey, Dag. That way, when that guy called, hey, Dag, he thought I was Paparella. He said, the Dago.
Mm-hmm.
I told him this is the restaurant last year. I was working as I am today. And I told him, I said, remember when you came running in from the outfield and you said, I worked a hell of a game? He said, yeah, you worked a hell of a game. I said, you called me Dago. He said, well, because the other guy worked Koufax, and that was Paparella.
I heard the story, read it in some book, where when Vic Rashi pitched for the Yankees,
yeah,
and Barrow was behind the plate, and I guess Rashi was a very intense man.
He was a good pitcher.
Yeah, good, strong pitcher. And I heard the story was that Rashi of Italian descent, and Barra, of course, and Barra, who had a lot to learn when he came up in the big leagues, and he had come trotting out toward the pitcher's mound. And Rashi said, hey, Dago, get back down there where you belong. You're not up here on this pitcher's mound. You know, one might say that to another, but you got to be careful about others.
Yeah, because, you know, there are a lot of guys used to say Rizzuto would call me Dick. You know, he can get away with it.
Yeah, a Rizzuto or a Barrow.
How they would say it. If you get in an argument, man, call you Dago, then you can run.
Yeah. Larry, how did another skill about umpiring, keeping track of the batting order, especially with the advent of the designated hitter. I must admit, not sure how do you keep track of the batting order when...
When a
pitcher's taken out, or another...
Yeah, when they give you the lineup card, they got to put down the DH, and the DH is batting for the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
So you put him down, and where do you want him to bat?
Okay.
See? And he says way down here.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, you got the DH over here. You got DH next to the hitter, mm-hmm. and if he's batting ninth, you watch it. Now, if they bat for the pitcher, they lose their DH. You can't have that DH anymore. The new pitcher comes in, has to hit again
mm-hmm.
in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Well, I guess aside from the DH, which doesn't exist in the National League, I have never fully understood when a batter comes in, let's say he's going to pinch hit for the right fielder, and the right fielder is batting number 7 in the lineup. And then there's somebody that goes in for a base runner, and all of a sudden this batting order changes.
Oh no, they can't change that. They can't. Once they get in, he's locked in. That's when a DH is locked in.
Okay, I mean, forget about the designated hitter.
Now, if that guy is locked in and they put a pinch runner in for him, the pitcher,
mm-hmm.
The new runner comes in,
mm-hmm.
he has to bat where that guy just left off.
Okay.
Understand?
Mm-hmm. Do you have the scorekeeper of
and
the
you
game?
You got to mark it down so you don't forget where they're hitting.
So you don't rely on the scorekeeper of the game to help you?
Today they don't use... they might use it in the minors, but they don't use it much in the big league. They only put a DH for the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But they want a pitcher, the guy who's DHing mm-hmm. the pitcher, say.
Yes.
He's going to hit fifth spot, second spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes down to the pitcher, he don't hit.
Who are some of the famous bench jockeys that you had to deal with? That tried to ride you, but not too much, but let you know you were always on their minds, riding you now and then stop.
Well, I tell you, this is a good story. When I was in the service, I played with a ball player, semi-pro, in New York. Played against the Bushwicks. You never heard of the Bushwicks?
The Bushwicks?
You never heard?
No, never heard of the Bushwicks.
There was a team that was just as good as a big league team. They called the Bushwicks. They played.
Was it an industrial semi-pro team or something?
Semi-pro.
Uh-huh.
And this one fella was in the service, but I was in the Navy, he was in the Army. So we on Sunday we used to play, and this guy was a pitcher. So when he came up in the, from the minors, and I played ball with him, see,
mm-hmm.
on Staten Island. So I'm catching in the Yankee Stadium. Stengel was the manager, see. And this guy was telling Stengel about me.
Mm-hmm.
So Stengel goes, "Hey, Nat!" And he's got like, "Hey, Nat!" And he stepped on the step. "I heard you were a pretty good ball player, but you couldn't see the curveball." And then all of a sudden, why? "And you still can't see it!"
One of the great storytellers of baseball, Casey Stengel.
Yeah. But you have to know when he was... You have to know what he's talking about, because he'll come far away talk about something that you know what that he's talking about.
Well, he did that on purpose.
Well, maybe he did. Just like there's a picture I got in my garage. Happy birthday. Somebody had my birthday. Had happy birthday in second base. Larry Knapp, and I said, "Gee, that's a kiss of death. Now what? A lot of close play." Sure enough, I did. See? Mm-hmm. And out came Casey.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my hands folded and I meet him. I said, "Yes, the case." I said, "What do you want?" He said, "Well, I'm not here to wish you happy birthday." I said, there was one, Johnny Stevens working behind the plate. And Jocko Conlon, he was a pretty big guy in the National League. Bucky Harris, remember him?
Yes, he managed the
Washington Senators
in the early 50s.
Well, Johnny Stevens was behind the plate. See, sometimes these guys say something sarcastic, and it hurts you more that way than if they call you so-and-so, see?
Mm-hmm.
So, Johnny's working behind the plate, and Bucky Harris walks up to John and says, "John," he said, "did you hear about Jocko Conlon?" I said, "No, what?" He says, "Took him out because he's having a bad game." "Took himself out because he's having a bad game." And that's all. He turned around and walked away.
Any couple of managers come to your mind that really knew the rules about baseball and that you respected when they would come out to argue about a play or about an interpretation of a rule?
I'd say...
Who was your...
That little... He knew what he was talking about.
Earl Weaver.
He was one of the best
baseball smarts.
Yeah, good smart. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's you and Earl Weaver arguing.
You know what? I got that picture from... He had a picture taken in his house, and he had that in his basement. And the big picture, and that's me then. I saw that. And I did a commercial with him, you know.
Uh-huh.
I did a commercial with him. And I said I saw you a picture of you at your home, and you got me in a big picture. I said, "Argue with me."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I have it." And now he's moving. He's going to move from Baltimore to Miami.
He lives down in Hialeah now.
Yeah. So I said, "What, you want it?" I said, "Yeah. Will you give it to me?" Well, I wasn't going to Miami, so Palermo's there. So I said, "Palermo, give it to Palermo, and he'll give it to me." Palermo got it and brought it over to me. That's a good picture. That's why I asked.
I see that baseball underneath it, autographed by Roger Maris.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gave a ball like that to Mrs. Milton.
Oh, did you? How did you get that, on what occasion did you get that baseball autographed by Roger?
We used to ask for it.
Oh, I see.
Some people that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I gave a ball like that to her, and it's a, and Marissa and the man was on it.
Oh, Lord.
And she got, the person I gave it to, she gave it to somebody and gave $200, got $200 for it.
Yeah.
I said, "Don't you sell that. When Nicky Mann dies, it'll be worth twice as much."
Yeah, you bet.
Can you imagine Wagner?
getting $1,200.
Yeah, incredible, isn't it? Just incredible prices for all that.
And I had so many baseballs. Mm-hmm. Had in fact, I got someone from Eisenhower here.
Oh, really?
And I got one. I said that, you know, in Washington, he used to throw out the first ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I let him sign the ball. He said, I'll sign it if you sign one for my grandchild.
For David.
David. Did you know, later on, David got to be the Tomlin's secretary for the Washington
How many World Series were you in?
Four.
Four of them. Yeah. 56 was the first one?
I should have had five. And,
of course, you were in the perfect game that
that you saw that.
Picture. Yes, in our first interview, you mentioned that story about.
You know what? The first one, the first World Series I did was with the Giants.
This is side two of tape number two of Conversation with Larry Knapp on May 25th, 1991. So you called the Willie Mays catch there against Vic Wirtz, I believe, wasn't it?
Any time a ball was hit to the outfield, we had it a lot on. See, but if it hit the right field, mm-hmm. the umpire worked in first base, go out there. Center field umpire, any ball hit out to the center field, he was out there. Mm-hmm. So sure enough, when the ball was hit there, I don't know whether it was going to go over the fence or what. He made a hell of a catch.
Yeah, that, behind the...
And then threw the ball at third base.
Other than the perfect game in that one, is there a particular memory about any World Series, the World Series itself that strikes in your mind? Of course, the perfect game, the calling of that beautiful catch by Willie Mays.
Well, not World Series, because that was something that happened in World Series. But, you know, I was in games where full of two perfect game, but I came close. This close to having my own game working behind the plate. I worked a lot of one hitters,
mm-hmm.
but never a no hitter.
Mm-hmm.
The guy Vic Rashi was pitching one, and just like the catcher was Ginsburg for Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and he almost had a base hit, you know, and somebody caught it. So when he came back to catch again, he said, "Hey, Nat, I'm going to break his no hitter run." Sure enough, he did. In the ninth inning, he hit baseball, and he got a no-hitter out. He broke up his no-hitter.
You know, when you're behind the plate, Larry, you're making about, well, let's say there are 300 pitches made, so that's 300 decisions, close to 300 decisions that you got to make, plus any plays, whether it be a pass ball, sliding into home plate, what have you. Mm-hmm. So you're making close to maybe 400 decisions a game.
You know, there's lots of times you get where a guy pitches and hits the bat and the hand at the same time.
Yeah.
That's one thing I got Larry Barnett once, and he'd never forget it. And Mayo Smith was the Detroit manager. And I'm on first base, and Larry is my number four man.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry's behind the plate, and sure enough, a ball comes in and hits
mm-hmm.
the batter. And he's going like this, see? Now, the guy's got a glove on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So he's taking the glove off to get to show Larry.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't take his glove off. He's got it only up to here. And Larry went like that, first base, to give him first base. Out come Mayo Smith. You didn't even look at his hand. How the hell are you going to go over there? You know, not giving Larry a bad time. I come in from first base, and I said, "Mayo, I saw the ball hit him." "You did?" "Yeah." "Okay." "I didn't see it."
Mm-hmm.
"But Larry out of a jam."
So would you talk to Larry after the game?
Oh, after the game.
What did you say to him?
I said, "Larry, you got to take it off. Take your time. Take the glove off. Look at it. See where the mark is. You know, you see a spot. You can..." Because Billy Martin used to go like that. He'd bite himself, you know.
Pretending to take the pain away, but he'd bite himself and get a mark on it, huh?
Well, anyway, I told Larry, "You got to wait, Larry. thanked me for taking him out of the jam because mm-hmm. they said I saw the ball hit him.
Mm-hmm.
See, Mayor Smith and I, he liked me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it with all managers. Mm-hmm. This guy liked me, had a lot of respect for me. So I saw the ball. I said, if Matt said he saw it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to the dressing room, I told Larry about it. You got to take your time, Larry. Let him take the glove off. You got mm-hmm. plenty of time. Mm-hmm. See? Saw it when I hit him. Sent him first base. I said, Larry, when we get out and talk with the four umpires, you know, at home plate, I said, thank you, you know. So I started it off, like, you know, I'm working behind home plate now because I had first base, now my position is behind home plate. So he said, Mayo, I said, I want to thank you. I said, you know, I said, you were right. He should have waited to take the glove off. So Larry said, I want to thank you, you know.
Told that to Mayo?
Yeah. And Larry said to Mayo, I want to thank you. You know, mm-hmm. I made a mistake. I should have waited a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah. He said, you're a pretty good umpire now. You know, just take your time because he's a rookie, see? Mm-hmm. And so another time, I had a guy taking a guy out of a hole, and it was Phillips working behind the plate. He was my young umpire. See, these young umpires, they learn a lot. And this is what you got to do. So I'm working first base, and Phillips is number four man now, and he's working behind the plate. Now, he's making a change. The manager's making a change, and he went like this. He pointed to the outfield and that he wanted to have a batter.
Mm-hmm.
Pinch hit. See? And he's marking the scorecard to get him out of there. And now all of a sudden, that guy says he didn't give him the change. He wants to put another guy because the guy changed the pinch hitter. He wants mm-hmm. a new pinch hitter because they're bringing in the right hander mm-hmm. For the left hander.
Mm-hmm.
So as Phillips is marking the scorecard down, this guy come over and giving Phillips, I don't want to call him all a son of a bitches and so forth. So, over there. I said, what are you yelling about, Dave? I said, did he give you the lineup change? He said, yes. I said, he said, that's what I'm marking down. So I said, he gave you the change. Now get the hell out of here. He said, well, he can go that blind son of a bitch. Get out of here. You know, run him.
Mm-hmm.
So I set the kid to feel good. I said, David, next guy to get you, hell, as soon as you hear somebody yelling from the dugout, mm-hmm. get the Nellie Fox. He's the instigator. And he laughed.
Larry, thank you very much for these interviews, and I think you've added a rich richness to the Baseball Hall of Fame with these tapes.
Okay. It's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure.
You bet.